1. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 to 14. If you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and multiplying, just as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a faithful servant of Christ in our behalf, who also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, who rescued us from the authority of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we do pray. Do your work in our lives this hour by your grace. Lord Jesus, would you show your power? Would you give us grace? May we be a people that would trust and believe you even more, that indeed the redemption, the forgiveness of sins that we have would be shown, declared, that we would learn to trust more and more. Give us victory over sin, that your faithfulness would be shown in us as we desire to be faithful to you as your disciples. Have your way in our lives here today and speak your truth, so that we would not believe the lies of this world. We would not be deceived by ourselves. We would not be tempted by false teaching in this age. Direct us, we pray, that we as a people would know and understand and believe the forgiveness of sins that we have in Christ. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning is communion. It's a special time for us. We usually celebrate this on the first Sunday of the month, and it is an opportunity to give our attention. As we were preparing and planning, we came to these verses 13 and 14 as our text for this morning, and we've entitled the message, The Forgiveness of Sins. On your notes this morning, I've given you a couple comments that I want to begin with as we collect our thoughts and think through these things together and prepare our hearts to partake of communion. When we do not think highly of the blessings we have received in Christ, then we are tempted to seek things by our own hands. We are wanting something more than we have in Christ, desiring our own hand to get it for ourselves. It's a very dangerous position to be in. For indeed, the devil himself and the world and our flesh would find things in this world appealing. Another statement that I want us to consider is this: we do not think rightly of the privileges we've been given in Christ, then we are attracted to find things according to our own desires. And we are searching for something more than what Christ has done, pursuing our own way to have it ourselves. The world that we live in has a plethora of options. And yet the Bible is very clear. There is only one Savior. His name is Jesus. And He is the only Savior you need. He's the only Savior that you have. He can deliver you from every sin that you confess. every bondage that you would find yourself, every enslavement to sin, He can break you free by the power as the one who is resurrected from the dead. It is a great understanding and a great statement as Paul would speak to the church at Colossae. As I remind you, they were tempted by the false teachers to look to something other than Christ. And oh, dear friend, we are tempted in these days to do the same. We are tempted to find formulas and methods and disciplines and even grab onto a few rules. And yet all of this would betray the reality of the state of our own hearts and our minds and the conditions that we find ourselves in. Paul would speak as he would pray this prayer, and he comes to the end of this prayer and he gives this statement in this fourth declaration. Remember last time that those four participles, that we are to bear fruit in every good work and multiply in the full knowledge of God, be strengthened with all power, and in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father. This is what it means to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and please Him in all respects. And yet Paul is not content to simply just say, let us give thanks. We ought to give thanks. But he explains to us why we give thanks. And I believe it's the very heart of understanding why we celebrate communion. It is to recognize how the Father has qualified us, how He has rescued us, how we have been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love, that in Jesus we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Even the way He begins us, we give thanks to the Father, and you could say, for the redemption, the forgiveness of sins that we have in His Son. And the very testimony that Paul gives here in recognizing what he had already began saying in verse 3, we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And that these believers had put their faith in Christ Jesus, verse 4. These believers were having love for all the saints, the people that were set apart by God because of their faith in Christ. These believers had a hope laid up for them in heaven because of the word of truth, the gospel that they believed. And we ought to give thanks. And Paul says we ought to be giving thanks and be a people who are giving thanks, and how grateful we ought to be and how blessed we are and what deliverance we have. Or you could say it this way, such reasons for so much giving thanks to the Father. Paul wants us to recognize this. And at the very heart of it is the redemption, the forgiveness of sins that we have in His Son. We are directed to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And the reason that we do all that is because the Spirit has instructed us by the testimony of the Word of God, that this is the way we come to God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And the Son is the one who was sent by the Father to give us redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The very guilt that we have, the very punishment that we deserved, that Jesus would take that punishment and He would pay the debt that we owed. This should cause us to give thanks to the Father. And Paul does something that he's already done, where he puts layers upon layers. And it is a really important thing to see here, because even as you read these verses, you say, what's the connection between giving thanks to the Father and verse 14, in His Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins? It's because of these three aspects, these three reasons why we are giving thanks to the Father are all made available to us, and therefore we can give thanks to the Father because of the Son and the redemption we have in Him and the forgiveness of sins. That we were slaves to sin, and Jesus has freed us. We were those that were, as he says here, we were in the domain of darkness, and yet he rescued us. And so let's look at this together as we prepare our hearts for communion. Such reasons for so much giving thanks to the Father. First of all, the Father himself qualified us by his grace to be his people. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And we made reference to this last time, but Paul is making it very clear. The reason why we give thanks is because the Father himself qualified us, not by our works, not because we were qualified, but by his grace to be his people, to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light, the people who walk in light, the people who are in the light, the saints, the ones who are God's people, and to share in that inheritance what the Father himself would give to those who are his own, who are his people. And he himself was able because we were unable, and no one qualifies himself. The Father qualifies us. You know, we live in a world that everybody's trying to qualify themselves for something. Do I meet the qualifications for this or for that? And someone inspects us and says, do you meet the qualifications for this? When really, in essence, and understanding the reality of what God has done, we give thanks to the Father because he has qualified us. Where we were inadequate and there was the impossibility in and of ourselves, he qualified us by his grace to be his people. We should give thanks to him. We're not his people because we're better than somebody else. But he qualified us. And again, he qualified us because we have redemption in his Son, the forgiveness of sins. The whole plan and the purpose of the will of the Father accomplished in the obedience of the Son, that he would be our Redeemer, he would be our Savior. The Father himself qualified us by his grace to be his people. And we ought to give thanks to the Father. Thank you for qualifying me by your grace to be part of your people. For such reasons, for so much giving of thanks to the Father, not only he qualified us, and the emphasis that no one qualifies themselves, secondly, notice the Father rescued us. Look with me at verse 13. Who rescued us from the authority of darkness. Your translation may say the domain of darkness. And then he says, and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. This is a wonderful statement. Because it is wonderful, and we ought to give thanks to the Father because he's qualified us by his grace to be his people. We don't qualify ourselves. But think about verse 13, the same Father who rescued us from the authority of darkness. Dear friend, do you understand this morning you needed to be rescued by God? You couldn't rescue yourself. And I know some of you have been in a situation like that where you needed people to intervene and to rescue you. And I read this week a lot of different news stories where somebody was in desperate need of someone to rescue them. And it took heroic, powerful efforts on individuals to intervene to save the life of people that were going to drown. If you've ever been in a situation like that where you needed to be rescued, you understand exactly what's being said here. Because Paul is emphasizing the reason why we give thanks to the Father. Not only did he qualify us by his grace to be his people, but the Father rescued us in his mercy by his deliverance. And he says, who rescued us from the authority of darkness or the domain of darkness. It is that place where Satan has dominion. He is the ruler of this world, where the blindness of men continue to occur. And you could go with each of these descriptions, you could go to a number of places to understand the realm in which Satan would dominate in this realm, on this earth. And it's a wonderful thing to consider and understand that we were rescued from the authority of darkness, that God would open our blind eyes that we could see, that he would make us aware of the deceptions that where we had been deceiving ourselves, the schemes of the devil and the evils of ungodly people and the deeds of the flesh. He rescued us from the authority of darkness. But there's something else you've got to see here, dear friend. It is as if Lot and his family was being taken from Sodom and Gomorrah. He rescued us from the very place that is going to endure the wrath of God. He rescued us from that. He delivers us from himself and the wrath that is going to be poured out on the dominion of darkness. He himself was powerful because we were powerless, and we cannot rescue ourselves. You've seen it already in the testimony of the people there at Colossae, where they had faith in Christ Jesus, they had love for the saints, they had hope laid up for them in heaven, which they previously heard, verse 5, in the word of truth, the gospel. This world is the domain of darkness. And yet, the Father would rescue us. And that we would live according to His mercy and show His deliverance. And He would do that because we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins in His Son. This is why often we don't give thanks the way we ought to. There's something sometimes within our hearts that thinks we rescued ourselves. I got it all figured out. I opened my eyes and I began to see what was wrong. No, you did not. If you think about what the domain of darkness is, the only way you are rescued from that is because the Father rescues you. I've often wondered about this because sometimes people talk in these ways. You recognize that the sinner just goes ahead and sins. And even if they suffer in the consequences of their sin, they just continue to sin. And there's a day of judgment that God speaks of, that when His personal wrath is being poured out upon the earth, that people hide themselves from it. But they don't cry out for mercy. Dear friend, if you've been rescued from the domain of darkness, if your eyes have been opened, if you recognize and understand the lies that you believed, the sins that you were enslaved to, the power that this world and Satan and your flesh had over you, and He rescued you from the authority of darkness, you ought to give thanks to the Father. Because He rescued us because of the redemption that we have in Christ and the forgiveness of sins. What a wonderful thing it is to have the light. And there is a contrast here, is there not? Because He qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light, and He rescued us from the domain of darkness. And this is why we are to testify to the reality that we walk in the light, that we live in the light, because God is light, and the light of the glory of Christ shines brightly, and our eyes have been opened, and we live in the light. I've been rescued from that domain of darkness. I've been rescued from those lies and that deceit. Those pleasures that I pursued after that were ruining, were, as Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 4, were the lusts of deceit. And the problem for a lot of us, dear friend, is that we do not think about what God has done in biblical terms. And so it doesn't really impress us because we kind of put ourselves in the formula and say, well, I kind of made that choice. I kind of came to my senses. I finally had enough. No, dear friend, that's God's grace in your life. There are people in this world that are ruining and destroying themselves because of their sins, and they're in the domain of darkness, and they're totally blind, and they're groping and reaching, and can they get out of this? And the amazing thing is they go from this domain of darkness and they enter into an eternity of darkness apart from Christ. The Father rescued us in His mercy by His deliverance. This is why we ought to give thanks. And it's because of the redemption that we have in Christ, the forgiveness of sins. So no one qualifies themselves. No one can rescue themselves. And then He makes the statement in verse 13, and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, you know, I'm not used to hearing language like that. Even in the Bible, this is a very rare occurrence. We're used to the kingdom of God. But this kind of language is very particular that Paul is referring to. And again, in the context, we've been rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And what Paul is saying to the church at Colossae and what God is saying to us that you're in a new realm with a new king, and there's new obligations. This language is powerful because when empires and when emperors and kings would conquer people, they would take the people that they'd conquered and move them to a place that was under their authority. So they would show everyone, these are now my subjects, they will obey me, my rule is over them, I am now their king. And Paul is saying that's exactly what happened in the life of the believers. God didn't just rescue us from the domain of darkness so that we can just go out and do whatever we want to do. No, you've been transformed and transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son. You have a king, and you are now a servant to that king. But the amazing thing is the opposite. Think about the contrast between the ruler of the domain of darkness and the king in the kingdom of the beloved Son. Sign me up. And yet people every day refuse Him. And if we're not careful, sometimes we don't take serious our service to this King and really living as though we are His subjects and He is our King. And one of the reasons why this is hard for us is because there's different teachings and different truths about the kingdom of God that are given to us in the New Testament. And obviously in what he's referring to here, there's a present reality to the kingdom of the Son of His love. But I also believe that the Bible would teach that there's going to be a future kingdom that Jesus is going to reign and rule on the earth. And so the reality of what Paul is speaking about here is the testimony that he is my king, my deliverer. He now is the one whom I offer service to, my allegiance to, my obedience to. There isn't some other religious system or other kind of teaching. There isn't someone else that you ought to offer that kind of service to, who rescued us from the authority of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son of His love. And God the Father did that. And then Paul says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There's one other place in the Bible that really puts all these themes together. It's over in Acts chapter 26. If you turn there with me, Acts chapter 26. And Paul gives testimony here of the reality of what God was doing. And as he would stand up and give a testimony of what God did, he speaks of what Jesus said to him. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, the resurrected Lord Jesus speaking to the Apostle Paul as he accounts this. We'll start in verse 15. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a servant and a witness not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. Verse 17, look at verse 18. To open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Jesus made it very clear that there is powerful forces, and yet His authority and the authority of the Father overrides them. It is a wonderful testimony to not to consider and understand, but to recognize too, there's something that Paul is telling us here. If the Father transferred us to the kingdom of the Son of His love, you and I don't get to gain entrance on our own. This isn't something that we say, well, when I decide to get there, I will get there. Or I really want to go there. Well, if you've been qualified and you've been rescued, God the Father has transferred you in the kingdom of his beloved Son. There is no access on our own. And yet, because of the redemption that we have in his Son and the forgiveness of sins, we can enter into the kingdom of the Son, that he would be our Savior, our King. We would be his servants. And so when he says in verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's been talking about these completed actions by the Father. He qualified us. He rescued us. He transferred us. And then he goes back to the present tense. And did you notice the language? In whom we have redemption. I love it when the Apostle Paul does that. Because he says, that's me too. In him whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The mighty great man, the Apostle Paul, says, my redemption and the forgiveness of my sins is in the Son. He's the only one that can give us the redemption we need. The deliverance, the forgiveness, to pay the payment that was due because of the debt that we owed, and the need for the cancellation of our guilt, because we are guilty. We need the forgiveness of sins. It's not something we talk about much in these days. Redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And yet Paul would say, in whom we have, right now. We could not pay this debt. And we could not deliver ourselves, but Jesus did. And I believe the emphasis that is happening here is Paul is saying we're giving thanks to the Father and asking and praying that they will give thanks to the Father because he qualified us. He qualified us by his grace to be his people, and he rescued us in his mercy by his deliverance. And the Father himself transferred us into the kingdom of his Son, all by means of the work of Christ himself. And this is what's so wonderful, because you say, where does the work of the Father and the work of the Son start and stop? Jesus is the Redeemer. But the Father was also doing his work, because he did redeem us. And because there is forgiveness of sins, we can be in the kingdom of the Son of his love. I like how Ryrie said it. He said, people are redeemed from something, from the marketplace or slavery of sin. People are redeemed by something, by payment of a price, that is the blood of Christ. And people are redeemed to something, to the Lord who redeemed them. And the forgiveness of sins. The removal of the guilt and a pardon to be forgiven, and the cancellation of that debt and of that guilt. See, the false teachers were coming into the church at Colossae and saying, you can redeem yourself. You really don't need forgiveness for sins. You can do it yourself. And they were devaluing the only place that Christ himself had. And so we're going to give thanks to the Father. We're going to say, I give thanks to the Father because he's qualified us. He's rescued us. He's transferred us into the kingdom of his Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's the only way I'm forgiven. That's the only way I'm going to be free from the bondage of sin. That's the only way I'll live in a victorious life. And so there's thanksgiving to the Father for such blessings that we don't deserve. I give thanks to the Father. I don't deserve any of this. I didn't deserve to be qualified. I didn't deserve to be rescued. I didn't deserve to be transferred. I don't deserve to be in the kingdom of the Son of his love. I don't deserve to be a servant of Jesus. And yet the work of the Father and the work of the Son gives you and I the blessing. I have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And see, we are redeemed by him, and therefore we owe our allegiance and obedience to him. And I've made this reference already, but we've already seen this, even the life of Epaphras, right? Remember back in verse 7? And yet you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. I want you to recognize and understand, is it very clear in my life what the Father has done because of the work of Jesus himself? Is it clear to people around me that I have been qualified to share inheritance in the saints and the light? That I've been rescued from the domain of darkness. I've been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Is it clear to everyone around him that I'm no longer part of this world and submitting to this world and ruled by the things of this world, but Jesus is my king? And dear friend, there may be something this morning, a sin that you're hanging on to. A sin that you feel like you can't overcome on your own. It's always going to just be this way. I want you to spend some time praying. Lord Jesus, show yourself to be the King of my life. I want to be one who gives thanks to the Father that I've been transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. I'm letting the little king of self rule in this area over here. And you need to have all the authority. I need to be a real servant of yours, a faithful servant of yours, Jesus. And so thanksgiving to the Father for such blessings that we don't deserve, and thanksgiving to the Father for such privileges which we are delivered. We're going to sing. I'm going to ask the music team to come up. And we get to sing, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's sing this out as we prepare our hearts to partake of communion this morning.